Blog Talk Radio.
No, 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 no. I never knew love like you. Had some encounters, but they don't even come close. The kind of love that you give is just too good to let go. Ain't no second guessing, cause I already know. If I ain't trusting nobody, I can trust in you for sure. I ain't got a thrill. Wondering if you're creeping, cause I know you're right here with me when I'm sleeping. All the time I failed you, you never considered leaving. Never got mad and packed your bags and tried to find a reason. Explain the kind of love that you get, and so I just say it's off the chain. I love everything about you. Get excited when I hear your name. Whenever I'm with you, I ain't worried about a thing. I'm so happy that you came into my life. Anything that you want from me, just tell me what you like. No matter what the price, I'm willing to sacrifice anything you want me to do. No hesitation, I won't think twice. Cause when I
everybody, thank you for tuning in to SBSN Listen Live here on Spirit Soul Radio Network, and I am your host, Deandra. I am super excited to be on the air one more time, amen, and I just thank you all for tuning in and joining me here. Guess what? I got a great broadcast for you all. Today, I have a special, special, special guest. She is my dear sister, amen. I've had her on before, which is shared with us some things before, but I'm excited to have her back on again. Author, evangelist, Teresa J. Scott. Amen. And so she's going to share with us her book, Attitude of Love. Amen. The Ways of a Godly Wife. Guess what? If you are a wife, amen, if you're engaged and you're about to get married, amen, you need to continue to tune into this broadcast on today. So this is what I want you to do. Share the number 310-982-4274. Amen. Also, Facebook, text somebody, tweet somebody, call somebody, message somebody, let them know that Host DeAndre is on the air live and you do not want to miss this broadcast. You're tuning in through the studio, amen, at any given time during the broadcast. Make sure you press your #1, amen, and that will cue you in to the broadcast so you can ask your question and leave your comment, amen. And so you have just heard Justin Shaw with Never Knew Love, and you can hear more of his music on SPSN Radio. Yes, Orlando presents SPSN Radio. God is doing some tremendous things. Keep posted to Spirit Soul Radio Network because we got some things in the works, amen? And so we're going to keep you posted about what God is doing on Spirit Soul Radio Network, the merges, the connections, the shifts, amen, the things that God is doing, opening doors and open up windows of blessings, amen, here on Spirit Soul Radio Network. So stay glued in, tuned in to this network, amen. And also, again, we have different events coming up, and we're going to share those things with you on our Facebook page. So make sure if you have not liked our Facebook page, go to Facebook, type in Spirit Soul Radio Network. Amen. And that will come up, and we'll keep you posted on what's going on. Meanwhile, let's get our spotlight guest, author, evangelist Teresa J. Scott, on the air.
Hey,
what's up, sister?
Amen. Good evening.
Amen. I'm getting a feedback. Let me change the phone real quick. All right. Sister, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Good evening, my sister. How are you?
I am good. I am calmed down. Amen. Oh my gosh. Look, I'm excited to have you on the air tonight. I'm always honored to when we get together, when God puts us together to do anything, I'm always excited. I'm super excited about today because you're going to talk to us about your book, Attitude of Love, The Ways of a Godly Wife. You were also on Pulse of the Northern Net radio show. Shout out to Brother Orlando Presents. Amen. You
shared,
Gerald Scott shared their testimony. And so I'm excited to have you on tonight. So share with us. Everything just came about because, again, you have a powerful, powerful testimony that will, I believe, and I know will help women that are wives and those that will soon become wives. So share with us your testimony.
Well, I'll share a little bit because I want you to buy the book and read it. But I was born... some years ago, won't give my age, but some years ago, and I was put in foster care not too long after my birth due to my parents' inability to raise us. I was the youngest at the time, and there were eight others before me. So because of an incident where someone beat my brother, or my dad actually abused my brother, who was 2 years old at the time, because of that incident, we were all taken away and placed in foster care. My older siblings wound up going back home with my mom a few years later, but my brother and I, we never did. So in the midst of us being in foster care, we were in three foster care that I know of. There was another one, but I was too young to remember. But we were in three foster cares, and the first one was great. She was a saved woman, and I believe God placed us there because he knew of the hardships that I was going to have to endure later on in life, and that's where I got filled with the Holy Ghost at the age of 11. And we left that foster home and went to another foster home where the lady was an alcoholic. Her boyfriend, who stayed there off and on, he was an alcoholic. That's where I began to get touched by men. He was the first man who touched me inappropriately. And because she had a home in another part of the city, where she ran numbers and did cards over there. I was the quote-unquote cigarette girl, so I would go to the store for the men. They would give me money, of course, but at the same time, they would touch me inappropriately. At first, it kind of freaked me out, but it became the normal. So, you know, that's what my life was until we got taken away from her. But even in that home, I was abused by a foster child that was there. She was, of course, female, and she used to abuse me sexually and tried to make me become a lesbian. So I was abused that way. The foster mother in that same home, she abused my brother and I, put us in a tub, beat us with a cord and the water. And if you hear noise in the background, it's because it's thundering here right now because it's so hot. But so we got out of that foster home and went to another, the last foster home. And I went to that foster home when I was 12. And when we got there, there was a lot of verbal abuse. We got called names. There was distinctions made between us and the foster child that was there prior to us. It was known to us that we were there only because of the money that they were receiving for us. And the mother, the foster mother in this last foster home, she was like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, especially on Sunday mornings. On Sunday, she would transform into this, you know, deacon's wife, and she had her special seat in the church where nobody could sit but her. She had her makeup on right. Her clothes were perfect. Everything. When we got in the church, when she got home, and, you know, then that's the other side of her came out. She was mean. She was abusive to her husband. She was abusive to us. There's just a lot of things that went on in that foster home. And out of the two foster homes, the second and the third one, that's where I learned my abusive behaviors. I learned to be abusive in those homes. And that, I didn't remember this part before I had written my book, but when I was even in the first foster home, I was being touched inappropriately by that foster parent's grandchildren, her grandsons. So,
wow.
You know,
wow.
It was something that had happened in my life from when I was young, very young. And these are kind of things that I took with me into my adulthood. Now, mind you, I wasn't promiscuous when I was single. I got promiscuous when I got married the first time. That's when
wow.
I became promiscuous. And I was 17 when I got married. I didn't know how to be a wife. I didn't know how to be me because I just was mimicking things that I had seen
right.
growing up. I didn't really know who Teresa was. And that marriage ended after 12 and a half years. Then I married someone else. And if you read a book entitled Dear Lord, I Married the Wrong Person, I'm a co-author in that book. And it talks about my second marriage, how I just went into this marriage because I was lonely and he said the right things and he came along at the right time. He was a drug addict and I knew it, but I married him anyway because I was needy and I needed to be with someone. So needless to say, that marriage didn't last, and he was abusive in that marriage. He was emotionally abusive as well as physically abusive, and he hit me one time, and that was the last time. But, you know, it happened. And then after I married him and things went really bad, I met my current husband, Bishop Scott, and he actually fell in love with me, and I fell in love with him. But we have two different stories of how we met, and it's hilarious. But I didn't know how to be a wife to him either. I didn't know how to love him with real love. You know, all I could do was love him by what I knew, but I was emotionally abusive to him. And there was an incident where I was physically abusive to him when he was sick in his hospital bed, and he needed to be changed because he thought I'm a step. He couldn't walk. He couldn't get him to go to the bathroom and toilet himself, but he had an accident in the bed, and I had to go down there and change him. And I was very mean with it. I pushed him over. I pushed him very harshly and rolled him over. And I don't even know what I was saying out my mouth, but I know it wasn't nice. And at that moment, I think I had an emotional breakdown because I had said to myself, I didn't sign up for this. This is not why I got married. I didn't get married to take care of a man. A man is supposed to take care of me. My mindset was, I was messed up. I was messed up in my mind. But it was all coming out as a result of me having to be his caretaker. And that's when I started the process of writing this book. Now, when I wrote the book, An Attitude of Love, I wasn't ready, Deandra. I wasn't ready to write the book. I was writing it just because I could write a book. But I wasn't ready. The things that I had written in the book, I wasn't living. The advice that I was giving, I wasn't living. None of that stuff that I wrote about was I living. And God is so smart that when I wrote that book, he shut production down of that book. The company that I went through to distribute this book went out of business. Therefore, I couldn't sell the book anymore because although there was some truth in that book, I wasn't living it. I was living a lie. So in 2014, I believe, my husband came to me and he said, Teresa, it's time for you to republish that book. And I'm like, what? He said, it's time for you to republish that book. And so I did. And with this book, we revised it and we added a workbook to it. And the purpose for the workbook is because in my experience with reading books, I write notes in my book. And then I can go back years later and reflect on what I wrote and see if there any growth in that area. So in this book, we have scriptures on top of scriptures on top of scriptures that the reader has to write out themselves. We talk about the marriage vows. We talk about the character of the wife. We talk about baggage. Are you carrying baggage into your relationship that you have now? Are you carrying baggage from a past relationship and you're making your current spouse pay for what your former spouse did or your former, you know, relationship did? You know, and that's what I was doing. Everything that everybody did to me up to me prior to me meeting Gerald, he had to pay for.
Wow.
He took the blunt of it. He took it all because I couldn't get to the people who really hurt me. So he had to bear all of what I was feeling. And I keep telling you this, I don't know why he stayed with me. Because if I was him, I would have left a long time ago.
Wow.
But
wow,
he stayed and he loved me through it, and we're still together. And we were just talking to each other today and the other day when we went to Wildwood, we were talking about how we just really know that we love each other because some things that we do, and it's like, dang, I really do love you, you know, whereas we couldn't say that a few years ago because we thought we was loving each other, but now we know we are.
And, you know, I have to ask and interject this question because so many people feel like, oh, I love him. Oh, I love her. And then when the covenant is made and the trials and tests come, then they were like, wait, hold up. Like you said, I didn't sign up for this. So what did you sign up for? So talk to those listeners that are getting ready to step into this covenant of marriage. And, you know, she's like, oh, I just love him. I just love, you know, talk to that woman of God that's about to venture into this journey, this lifelong journey of marriage. Encourage your hearts on today because I know there's a lot of them that are engaged and they're ready to get ready to go down that aisle and say their vows. But minister to that woman that has that ring on her finger, excited about the engagement, but is about to walk into the covenant.
I would caution you, woman, to examine your vows. examine your vows and then examine your heart. See, it's easy to say, I'm going to be with you for the good times and the bad, for sickness and in health, for rich or for poor. It's easy to say that until you have to go through it. See, we've made the vows something that, you know, oh, that's cute for you to say, or, you know, it sounds good for you to say that. But examine the vows that you take before God, before that person that's marrying you, and before the person you're marrying. Examine those vows. Ask yourself, if my husband got sick, I mean sick or disabled, would I be there for him? Would I be able to be the wife that he needs if something like that should happen to him? Would I be there still with my husband if we went into this marriage with money but we lost everything? We became homeless. Would I still stick with him? If things happen, if your husband cheated on you, would you be able to endure that? Would you be able to forgive him? Because the vow says in good times and in bad. Would you be able to forgive your husband for that indiscretion? Would you be able to forgive your husband for any other indiscretion that he may enact? These are the kind of questions you have to ask yourself, because we might be lovey-dovey and we might be in the moment of, oh, I'm getting ready to get married. Oh, look at this ring. This is a bad ring. Look at this. Mm-hmm. And you're all happy and everything, but think about those vows. And I'm not saying this to discourage anyone from getting married. I'm saying this to encourage you to examine your heart. And on the other side, it's easy to say, yeah, I would stick with my husband if he was sick and if he did it. But, honey, let me tell you, my husband and I, we've been through each one of the good and the bad, for rich and for poor, for sickness and in health. We've been through all of that. When I met my husband, he wasn't in a wheelchair. We got married in babe, what year did we get married? I forgot. 1999. We got married in 1999. He wasn't in a wheelchair. He had cerebral palsy, but he wasn't in a wheelchair.
Amen.
So, you know, these are the kind of things you have to consider, because quiet as it's kept, when your husband or your spouse goes from being able-bodied to not being able to do what they used to be able to do, oh, it takes a toll on you. It takes a toll on you. And you have to know that you know that you know that you love that person. You have to know that. And although my love wasn't what it should have been, I still knew that I loved him. But I had a whole lot of stuff that needed to be worked on me. When my husband came into some money, I was the nicest girl. I was so sweet. I was so nice. I was everything. I was just nice. When the money started running out, I reverted right back to who I used to be.
Wow. Wow.
And he said it. He said, the money's running out now, so I guess things are going to be like they used to be, huh? And we were standing on a street corner waiting for the bus when he said that to me. And I was like, oh, my God. It was like he stabbed me. It was like he just stabbed my heart when he said that. But when he said it, it made me realize that I hadn't changed, really. I was acting nice because he was giving me all that money. But after the money ran out, DeAndra, I went right back to acting the way I was acting before.
Wow. That's amazing. That speaks volumes. And I have to say this, your testimony, Bishop Joe Scott's testimony, just speaks volumes. And it's needed in this generation. It's needed in this time. I want you to share with our listening audience how they can purchase An Attitude of Love, The Ways of a Godly Wife.
They can go to Amazon.com, and look up An Attitude of Love, The Ways of a Godly Wife, or look up Teresa J. Scott, and it'll come up. So it's on Amazon. It's in Kindle form as well as paperback. It can also be purchased on CreateSpace, BarnesandNoble.com, and BooksAMillion.com. It can be purchased there. in those places as well.
Amen. And just to piggyback off of what you said, listeners, if you go on to SPSN Radio on Blog Talk Radio, you'll see the link on the slideshow, the different links where you can go and purchase your book. Look, I believe also you said you have a workbook that comes with the book.
Yes, it's included in the book. I didn't want to. We had thought about doing two separate books, but we figured, you know, why have people purchase two separate books when you can just get it in one? Yeah, and it's a real workbook. It's I'm not giving you the answers to anything. When I ask a question in the book, the reader has to research it and get the answer.
Wow, I simply love it, and that's why I urge you to go get the book. Because, like she said, it's one thing to say, oh, I love him, amen, and even to say, oh, I'll be with him through the bad time, the good time. Look, you really have to evaluate this thing because it is a covenant. It is
yes.
a covenant, and not just it's not a contract. It's a covenant. And so I want to ask this real quick. I don't know if you mentioned it in the book or not, but I wanted to ask this because you mentioned you were married twice, two times before you married Bishop Gerald Scott. So what is your stance on those that have been married and, you know, divorced? Yeah, what is your stance on marriage and divorce?
My stance is don't get divorced if you don't have to. God frowns on divorce. Now, let me say this. When I got married at 17 years old, I didn't have a lick of a clue what I was doing, okay? So I didn't have anybody to really guide me and tell me not to do that. I was getting married as a means of escape. The person that I married was in the military. And he got me away from the abusive situation that I was in. That's why I married him. There was no covenant, really. It really wasn't. I was 17 years old. The second marriage, I knew what marriage was, but I was so messed up in my head that I felt like I needed to be with someone. I had never been really on my own. In any of my adult life. So I felt like I needed this person. And although I did have my pastors at the time telling me not to marry him, one of them, she refused to come to the wedding, but the head pastor, he married us. So I'm like, okay, this is all right. But I knew going in that I shouldn't have done that. I should have stayed unmarried until I met Gerald. So I'm not one to really believe in divorce because I don't think that God hates divorce. Let's just say it that way. God hates divorce. He says it in his word. He hates divorce. But in my case, the first time, that was something I just did. I didn't know nothing about a covenant or anything else like that. That was something that I did. And when I remarried, I asked God to forgive me because I know he said he hates divorce. But I believe God sent me Gerald for my husband. I believe God ordained this marriage. And when we went into this marriage, we went into this marriage before God. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody who doesn't believe in divorce, but God can do anything.
Amen, amen. And I just want to interject and want to encourage those that have experienced divorce, have experienced various things and tests and trials in your relationship. God is a God that restores.
Yes.
Amen. And so I just want to encourage, I just feel that if someone out there listening, you're like, well, I've been through this in my marriage and I've been through divorce, and can God bless me again? Can I move forward? Look, I've had, including author Evangelist Teresa Scott, I've had other guests on here that also talked as well, sis, about divorce and about marriage and about relationships. and about relationship of God can restore. And I just want to encourage your hearts on today that, you know, put your situation in God's hand, that brokenness
yes.
that you feel, let God mend it. Amen. Don't sit there and stay broken. You don't have to stay broken. You can get healed on today.
Yes.
And so
yes.
allow God to mend your broken pieces. Amen. And just re-scope your life. Re-scope you as an individual. Re-scope all the different connections that you have in your life. And believe me, when God re-scopes, amen, he's going to move some people out your life. He's going to add
yes.
some people to your life. Because
mm-hmm.
everybody that comes into your life is not permanent. They're not there for the whole journey. They're there for a season. And so when people come into your life, you must discern, are these people here for a season or are they here for my journey? And so we have to be careful who we connect to. Amen.
Yes.
So I just want to encourage, I want to encourage those that are listening. God can restore. Give him your broken pieces. Let him mend it. Amen. Let him heal you. And let him bring in those people that need to be in your life to discern whether they're going to be there for the season or for the journey. Amen. And so thank you so much, my sister, for coming on the show on today. Thank you so much. And again, share how our listening audience can purchase your book.
We are on Amazon.com. You can search Teresa J. Scott, or you can search An Attitude of Love, The Ways of a Godly Wife, and you will see the product there on Kindle as well as paperback.
Amen, amen. So you have a blessed night on tonight, and thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you. It's over so soon. It goes by so quick.
I know. We got to have you come back on again and again.
God is good. God is good.
Yes, amen. So on that note, everybody, thank you for tuning in to SPSN Listen Live with me, your host, Andra, and make sure you go out and support author, evangelist, Teresa J. Scott. You want to be blessed in the covenant that you're about to enter. Amen. And even those that are married and already in covenant, amen, you will be blessed by her book, by her testimony, amen, and it will minister to you. I'm going to leave you with these words: be encouraged, inspired, and what? Forever changed. God bless.
Father, we just want to give you praise because you've been that good to us.
I said I wasn't going to let it out. Lord, you've been. Trials and tribulations, and I pray when I think about how you walked to that cross. You had me in mind so my soul would not be lost. You're wonderful to me. You've been that good.